Rodolfo is Mrs. Wormwood's dancing partner. His slender figure is poured into skin-tight black leather trousers, their wide flares studded with glittering rhinestones. His long-sleeved black shirt is just as close-fitting and reveals all his smooth chest, with a heavy gold medallion and chain round his neck. His long, dark hair flows to his shoulders, and he is clean-shaven, except for razored wedge-shaped sideburns just below his cheekbones. Mrs. Phelps is the kindly librarian who first encourages Matilda in her love of reading. She is a comfortably round black woman in her 40s, with the kind face of a good listener. She is bundled up in multicoloured layers of patterned clothes, topped with a cosy cardigan. Her mass of corkscrew curls, threaded with beads, is held back from her face with a wide paisley scarf. Her long, dangly earrings sometimes catch on the beads in her hair. She has more beads round her neck, and they rattle as noisily as the bracelets at her wrists. Mrs. Phelps pads around her library in ankle socks and Converse trainers, pushing a metal trolley of books to be shelved. But she is always ready to pull up a seat and listen to Matilda's stories. In the library, more tall shelves and all full of books are slid across the back. Amongst the books are big letters spelling out the words Hush, Silence, and Quiet. Big wooden blocks with letters on them are used as seats. Matilda tells stories to Mrs. Phelps. At first she uses two rag-doll puppets about 30 centimetres tall to act out her tale. Later her characters come to life as she tells her story. In Matilda's story, the escapologist is a circus performer in a red leotard over a sparkling white bodysuit. Over this goes a dazzling gold lamé cloak and a glittering red top hat. He also wears a distinctive white silk scarf with silver embroidery. The escapologist's wife is the acrobat, a tall, dark, beautiful girl. Her performance costume is of flame-coloured satin, and she wears a spectacular headdress of towering flame-coloured ostrich feathers. Another visitor to the library is Miss Honey, who is soon to become Matilda's form teacher at Crunchham Hall. Miss Honey lives up to her name, with her smooth, shiny, honey-coloured hair falling straight from its side parting to below her shoulders. Of medium height, she is slim and pretty with large blue eyes. Her modest, retiring character is expressed in her quiet clothes, a knee-length flower print dress, pale pink tights, and a fluffy pink cardigan. She often wears round, gold-rimmed spectacles, which she has on a cord round her neck. Miss Honey's home is nothing but a run-down hut. It is set on a platform about 3 metres square, raised off the stage by about 0.5 metre. The only furniture is a single electric cooking ring and some old wooden crates for tables and chairs, and her bed is a mattress on the floor. Behind the house, across the back of the stage, is an image of a white fence running through a meadow of bright green grass filled with colourful flowers, as well as the small image of the outside of the ramshackle little hut, made from clapperboard walls under a tumble-down roof. Miss Honey is easily bullied by Miss Trunchbull, the all-powerful headmistress of Crunchham Hall. Played by a man, she is an alarming figure, with a curious hunched posture, giving her a predatory look as she looms over the tiny first-year pupils. Her outfit accentuates this threatening effect, emphasising the massive torso and shoulders developed in her years as an Olympic medal-winning hammer thrower. She wears a long-sleeved brown smock of thick, stiff, oiled cotton, like a waxed jacket material, clasped at her thick waist with a wide leather belt and reaching to just above her knees. Under this is a white shirt, fastened at the neck with a silk bow and tight knee breeches of the same heavy cotton as the smock. Long, ribbed woolen game socks with turnover tops reach up to her knees, which gleam bare and spookily white between socks and smock. Her shoes are man-sized flat brown leather brogues with fringed flaps over the laces. Miss Trunchbull's iron-grey hair is scraped back into a tight bun, revealing all of her round, scrubbed red face, which flushes a deeper colour during her frequent rages. Her deep-set eyes are full of suspicion, and her jutting chin seems to express her aggressive, obstinate personality. She has a whistle on a cord round her neck, which she often blows shrilly. When leading a PE class, she appears in a very short pleated grey game skirt and hooded sweatshirt, with the word Trunch on the back in large white letters, and lots of badges sewn onto both sleeves. Her Olympic medals on their bright ribbons around her neck. Despite her solid appearance, Miss Trunchbull can still vault a gym horse and turn a neat somersault. The school uniforms at Crunchham Hall are traditional ones of grey flannel blazers, worn with grey knee-length shorts for the boys and grey gym slips for the girls. All wear white shirts and a striped grey and red school tie. The boys wear caps and the girls felt hats, and all carry brown leather satchels on their backs. Matilda and the other first years are neatly dressed, but the older children have taken the usual liberties with their uniforms, shortening their skirts, loosening ties, and so on. Matilda's particular friends at school are Lavender, a sprightly little girl with lots of initiative, and Nigel. Amanda, with her long pigtails, falls foul of Miss Trunchbull, as does Bruce. As Matilda and her friends approach school for the first time, the grim school gates loom in front of them. This time the pattern of blocks are grey, making the high stone school walls. In the middle are tall iron gates, also made in a pattern of squares, meaning that the pupils inside can climb them and can perch on them to stare out like animals in a zoo. The words Crunchham Hall, chalked over a blackboard surface, stretch across the top of the gates, and red shields with the school crest hang either side of the gates. In the classroom, the wood squares in the floor rise up to become rows of school desks with wooden seats and iron legs. They're all facing away from us towards the back of the stage, which is filled with a long blackboard. In the school gym, the wall bars at the back are a pattern of squares. There is a trampoline, a big thick gym mattress, and a vaulting horse, which is a square wooden box shape about chest height with a padded leather top. The control centre of the school is Miss Trunchbull's study. The back of the study is a tottering pile of box shelves. The shelves are filled with rosettes, cups, ribbons and shields, all prizes from Miss Trunchbull's sporting career. Alongside them the shelves are stacked with a tall pile of old-fashioned TV screens. One is showing old sports film of Miss Trunchbull's finest sporting moments. The other TVs are CCTV, each screen showing a different room or part of the school. At the very bottom are a couple of very elderly reel-to-reel tape recorders. Facing this wall of screens and prizes is a scruffy wooden writing table with iron legs, and a high-backed wooden office chair with its back to us. The top of the table is filled with a mess of clutter, including heaps of papers, a heavy old-fashioned black dial telephone, a whiskey bottle and a glass. Mr. Wormwood has been selling his used cars to some dubious Russian businessmen. Their leader is Sergei, a strapping fellow with a menacing manner who is both taller and much broader than Mr. Wormwood. He has a thick black beard and wears a flashy black suit, shocking pink shirt and a black overcoat, with matching pink lining draped around his shoulders. His henchmen are all in black too, and the whole group wears dark glasses. Mr. Wormwood's used car lot has a couple of strands of tinsel stretched across, manned by a mechanic in grubby overalls with a dozy expression. The company of actors are called upon to be particularly versatile in this show, playing the older children at Crunchham Hall, as well as the children's parents, and becoming doctors, nurses, dancers and henchmen as required. That is the end of the introduction to Matilda. You may wish to note that this introduction was recorded early in the play's run, and changes in set and costumes may occur as the run progresses. We will incorporate any changes in the live introduction, beginning 15 minutes before the start of the show.